Welcome to another episode of the Bellied Up Podcast, guys. I am your fearless co-host, joined by my fearless co-host, Miles, the You Betcha guy. We got pull tabs, ladies
now,
and gents.
Now, we're returning to the seat of the accident. We're here at Schuler's here in Gold Valley. We won $700 here last time, Charlie. Let's see if we win.
Let's rip and roar.
These are $5 ones, too. We got one left. We got one left.
All right. We just cranked through 19 of these suckers. How much did you spend on this, Miles? These were $5.
It was just dead solid for like a minute.
Yeah, we were at full focus, man. Full focus. All right. All right. And here we go. Nothing. I kissed a pull tab. You already kissed for nothing.
Well, there's $100 down the drain, Charlie, but that's what investing's all about.
I'm just happy it wasn't my money.
So now you got to go throw $100 in.
I'll think about it. Hey, Miles, you know what I was thinking about? Spring cleaning. I am currently cleaning out my garage, and I started to think, you know, I got all this stuff in my garage, but what do I actually want?
Yeah, almost garage. Like, what does every good garage need?
Yeah, what does every good garage need?
Well, I think in every good garage needs to have a pile of shit that has just been accumulated over a certain amount of time, right? I have this one spot. I call them piles.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to have a good pile of random stuff that you don't really need, but you don't want to throw out either.
Of course.
And it just goes in the pile. It's got clothes. It's got boots. It's got probably you got a tape measure in there somewhere.
You got a clothes pile in your garage.
Yeah, because it goes from my truck to the clothes pile. And then sometimes that clothes pile makes it into the house.
That's impressive, dude. You got to watch out for that. Mice really like that. That's good mouse bedding.
Yeah.
Or rats. Yeah. One time I was cleaning out my garage. I opened up a gun case. I was keeping fishing poles in, and a rat jumped out at me.
A rat?
A rat.
Like a mouse?
No, full on rat, dude.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Mary and Joseph, pray for us. Finish the prayer and everything.
What do you think a good garage needs?
Every good garage. I learned this from my grandpa Bob. Every good garage needs a good chair. You know?
He's a what? Sorry.
Oh, you were chit-chatting. You got.
He was told him. Me he was my good. He told me he was my good luck charm for pull tabs, and he wasn't.
Yeah, so. Can't win them all. I think every good garage needs a chair. There's nothing a solid chair.
No,
a thinking chair.
Well, my question is do you just need a chair, or is there a specific chair you have in mind?
I'll tell you what I have in my garage. I have this Lazy Boy that my folks found off the side of the road, and they said, hey, there's a Lazy Boy here. And I was over there with the trailer, picked it up, put it right into the garage. It's my thinking chair.
I like that.
There's nothing better than looking out your garage door and just thinking.
Yeah, I got to get a good chair because I got like the lawn chairs that fold out, but you know, I'm not taking out those out of the bag and to sit down. You know?
No, you don't. You want to have as little friction as possible between you and the thinking chair. It's always set up.
My thinking chair right now is the lawnmower.
You know what? That counts. And yeah. I don't have a rider, so.
Yep. So that's been my kind of go-to chair in the garage.
Yep. Good
Once
for you.
Once in a while, I sit on the steps.
Okay.
Going into the garage.
You got steps in your garage. See, I don't have steps in my garage.
Yep. I got a few steps up into the house.
Mine's
so.
A disconnected garage. I think every garage needs a hodgepodge of tools and saws that are in various stages of use and abuse.
You got to have a new one, but you got to have one that barely works.
And you got to say, if you really want to get the job done, I trust that one, you know, which doesn't make any sense because you bought the new one because you didn't trust that one. But it's hard to trust a new saw sometimes.
I think also every good garage needs a single gas can. You're not quite sure what kind of gas is in there. Is it mixed? Is it diesel? Is it 87? What is it?
And once a year, you pick it up and you smell it to see if it's going to give you any hints. And you know whatever gas is there is bad. But then you're like, how am I going to get rid of this gas? And then you're like, I got to look up the poison situation. You're like, I'll just put it on the next fire I start, you know?
Well, and I even have a gas can that's labeled mixed.
Yeah.
But I also don't trust that either because I might have, in a pinch, needed to put regular gas in there. So now it's all sorts of messed up.
There's never a gas can is like that old bottle of liqueur in your grandparents' liquor cabinet. It's like, I don't know. I mean, that could be 3 years old, that could be 30 years old. You never know.
No.
And
I also think a good garage needs a beer fridge that is just a collection of all of the booze that people have brought to your house and left.
Nice hodgepodge. Yep. In the same note, you also need an old freezer that you didn't want to throw out. It didn't quite work, but 6 months out of the year, it's a good freezer for all your deer meats and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then when winter is over, you kind of reassess which ones are really keepers, and you bring those back into the house, and the rest of them you give away, and you act like it's a present, even mm-hmm. though it's clearly frostbit.
Yes. Freezer burnt.
Freezer burnt. Also, you need enough wood in your garage to build at least three other garages.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
Because you never know.
You never know.
You just never know when you're going to need that piece of wood. You can't throw that away.
And you should have 7 brooms, but no dustpans.
Mm-hmm.
And just a bunch of different piles of dust.
It's important to have a good arrangement of brooms as well.
Yeah, you know? You got the push broom.
Push broom. You need one of the little feather ones for the corners.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a little stand-up one. You also need probably a hand broom or brush of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a good arrangement of brooms.
You absolutely do. Yeah. This is something I've put into my garage. I put a target in there because I've been trying to get better at my recurve bow action, mm-hmm. Miles. And if you put a target in your garage sideways, you can get a pretty good
range diagonal going.
A little diagonal. Yeah.
You got a big garage then.
I do actually have a big garage. It's detached from the house. And it's...
You know what they say about a guy with a big garage, right?
What do they say, Miles?
A lot of junk.
Yeah. That's accurate, you know?
The bigger the garage, the more junk the guy's got.
Oh, I tell you what else you need. You need tire lifts, little jack lifts. You know, so people think, oh, this guy knows how to work on a car.
Yeah, he's changing his oil himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I that's the only thing I really use him for, honestly, is changing the oil.
Good for you.
That's about where my car knowledge, that's one of the only things I trust myself to really do on.
Yeah.
That.
And that's a great point, Charlie. If you have, let's say you got an extra car, you got an old car.
Yeah.
Just make sure the hood's up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not going to work on it, but if the hood is up and someone comes into your garage,
they're impressed.
Like, they'll be like, oh, this guy's been working on that. He knows his way around a car.
Uh-huh.
So as long as you got the hood up on it, it's all you need.
I've had the hood up on my snowmobile for going on 3 years now.
Yep. No one's like, why isn't he working on that? They're like, well, clearly he's been working on it.
Yeah, they think I'm a handier man than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I think all those things are good. They were probably missing some, but...
Old beer cans... You need old beer cans along the wall, you know, like my garage is down to the studs. There's just like a few areas I've put up like some slat wall to hang things, but everything else is down to the studs. And between the studs, you just put a little horizontal 2x4. That's your shelf there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I've got the internal shelving unit and I've got some old beer cans in there. Some collector's cans, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an old MASH beer can. Can you believe that?
Don't even know what that is.
MASH, the TV show from way back in the day.
Oh, I didn't know they made beer cans.
And neither did I, but I got one in my garage. Two, in fact. I'll give one to you the next time.
And I think
you're there.
To round this out, Charlie, I think that brings up a great point. Every good garage needs a bunch of shit that you just have no business ever needing.
Exactly.
That's what it's about.
You never know.
The garage is the junk drawer room.
That's, yeah.
You know, instead of just one drawer, it's a whole room in the house.
Yeah. Two of everything you never need, folks.
Well, Charlie, should we take some callers?
Let's do it, Miles. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we chit-chatting with today?
You're chatting with Everett. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, Everett. How are you, my man?
Doing just fine.
Well, belly up to the bar. What do you got on your mind?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. Just about to pull into the old Exxon here, put some fuel in the company truck, and
now
get my way back into Spokane.
Are you going to sneak a couple snacks on the company card or no?
Oh, no. They don't let us do that anymore.
Lame.
Who ruined it for the rest of you?
It was a guy a few years back on the weekends. He'd bring his boat in and... fill up his boat and his personal truck on it and kind of screwed us all over.
Yeah. Filled up his boat on the company car.
He's got like a nice boat that just sucks gallons too.
Classic.
Oh yeah. He'd buy like a couple 30 racks of beer and fill up the old boat there.
Did he lose his job or just his credit card privileges?
I think he just lost his credit card privileges, really.
Good.
Not bad for technically embezzling from the company, you know?
Nah.
Nah.
He must have been good at what he was doing.
Yeah, that's, you know. But,
well, what's on your mind, fella?
Oh, a lot of stuff. Actually, I can't believe I made it on. So, here's the thing. Hold on, I got to enter the odometer in here.
Yep, right.
So
that
I
down.
Think I'm from North Idaho, and I think North Idaho should be inducted into the Midwest.
Okay.
North Idaho.
Is this a state your case situation?
I believe this
Charles?
Is a state your case.
All right. Well, let's state our case. The northern part of Idaho. Let's hear it. What do you got?
Well, if you're from here, generally you're friendly. I hear you guys talk a lot about, you know, if you need help with something, you always give your buddy an out, you know. And we're all about that here. We're good-natured folks, a lot of small towns, a lot of agriculture, a lot of beer drinking. I'm like, you know, we're pretty much Midwest here.
And, you know, on top of that, if you just take the northern part of Idaho, it kind of looks like a sawed-off shotgun. So, I mean, that's a big plus.
Yeah, that is. I never thought about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look at that. Looking at it right there. Just the northern part. I mean, that's a really short-barreled sawed-off shotgun.
I was
going
to say it just looks like a 9mm handgun.
I thought it'd be more fun to say sawed-off shotgun, though.
It was fun to say that, yeah. Okay, so you got that going for you. What do you guys do at the bars? It's not just about having bars, because everyone's got bars. What's the culture like in the bar scene?
Friday night, Saturday night, we usually go down to River City Lanes there and do karaoke and have probably 2-3 too many beers.
Okay, what's your karaoke song of choice?
Oh, my opener's always Friends in Low Places. That always gets the bar going.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I love how it's his opener. This isn't just a guy with one karaoke song. This guy's going out to perform.
What's the set list look like?
What's the what? Set list look like?
Yeah.
Oh, it's everything, man. We got country music, 80s rock. There's guys who get up there and sing the weirdest stuff I've never even heard. And, It's a little bit of everything.
You know what else I like about Northern Idaho, or just Idaho in general, is you got those potatoes going. And, you guys are responsible for so many of our
French
chips,
fries.
Our fries, the whole deal.
You know what's so funny about that is, in the northern part, we have pretty much zero potato farms.
Well, I'll just go frick myself.
We're mainly logging and like a few wheat fields, but other than that, it's mainly timber products coming out of here.
Okay, well, what do you guys do for fun? Besides go to the bar and karaoke.
Do for fun? Oh God, we go. We got snowmobiling. We got a lot of lovely ski resorts around here. Got a real nice swing dance place there at State Line. Hunting, fishing, drinking, tubing, summer comes around, we go golfing, go out on Lake Coeur d'Alene there, you know.
What are the folks like out there? Are they pretty nice, pretty warm, accommodating, or do you get a little cold shoulder? You know, you're close to the West Coast, so, you know, do you have any of that bleed in India?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
the amount of California plates that are in Idaho now, it's a bit of a sore subject with most of us, but oh well, what can you do?
What can you do?
That's a very Midwest response there.
Yep.
Oh, well, what can you do?
Yeah. So far, you're
well, Charlie, what do you think? Do you think we allow the northern part of Idaho into the Midwest?
I think because most people screw up Idaho and Iowa so much, it's already been in the Midwest.
That is
and
true. So, here.
Idaho.
Welcome to the Midwest.
Thank you.
We'll put you right there next to the eastern end of Colorado.
So what? We got flat part of Colorado, northern part of Idaho. We got like Maine and a bunch of other ones.
New Hampshire.
Hawaii. We have Hawaii as
well.
New
Hampshire as well. Yeah, we got it all. I mean, we are just expanding our territory. I like it.
Oh, wow.
You got anything else you want to discuss? You said you got a lot on your mind.
Yeah, anything you want to buy, sell, or trade?
So it's kind of cool. I feel a little bit honorary Midwestern. My grandma is from Green Bay my dad's side.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And then my mom's whole family's from northeastern Montana. So we go pretty out there, pretty close to you there, Miles.
Yeah, you got to drive through if you're going from Montana to Green Bay.
How's that?
If you're going from Montana to Green Bay, you got to go through North Dakota.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been to North Dakota many times.
Hell yeah. Well, what's on your mind? You got another question for us or no?
What else could I ask you guys? How's the weather out there right now?
The weather is a shit show, man. It's cold 1 minute, hot another minute. What's your story? Are you married? You got kids? Give us the biggest problem in your life.
I'm divorced.
You're divorced. How long you been divorced?
8 months.
Oh, it's fresh, huh? What's the best part about what's the best part about being divorced? What's the worst part?
You know, the best part is I'm back home with my friends and family. I moved down to kind of central western Oregon for a little while, for a year, and then marriage fell apart, moved back here, and having a great time. And so just getting back into
freedom is what he's saying,
being around
Charlie.
Family and friends again. Yeah, freedom again. I can be myself and put whatever accessories I want on my truck and
there you go. I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, we appreciate
when I want, where you want.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you calling in today, man.
No, yeah, thanks for accepting me there.
Yeah, we snuck northern Idaho into the Midwest. I like it.
I think you now have to, the next accessory you got to put on your truck is a bumper sticker of just the top part of Idaho.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, we have that. We have custom ones that look like a 9mm too.
I believe
a little tree out of the top.
Yeah, I like that.
So,
hell yeah, man. Well, thanks for calling in and congrats on the divorce.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for accepting me. I'll let you guys get back to her and I guess keep her between the ditches and look out for them deer out there.
Heck yeah. Well, be good now. We'll see you soon.
Freedom.
Northern Idaho. It's not something y'all often think of, too.
Classic us not knowing anything about Idaho, bringing up potatoes, and then he just being like, we don't do that up here.
There was a thought in my mind that they don't do potatoes up there, too, and I just ignored
it. Is it a ploy from Big Potato to, you know, sell more potatoes by labeling it that, or the rest of Idaho's got it?
No, I mean, they do a ton of potatoes in Idaho, you know. Mm-hmm. Not a ploy there. It's all in the
mix. Just in the mix. Southern part.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're right. The number one producer in the U.S. Wisconsin's number three, fun fact.
That is a fun fact. Mm-hmm. Not as fun as Jared's facts, but
Jared has great facts.
Just take another caller. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who we got on the line?
My name is Christian from Montana.
Okay, Christian. What's going on today? Where are you at? What you hauling?
It's funny you say that. I'm a truck driver. I am hauling... Gosh, what do the bills say? I am hauling... I think coffee grounds to Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
I'm currently in Utah.
Where are you? Is that where you're coming from? Is Utah or just passing through?
No, I'm just passing through Utah. I actually stopped at the Wilson Arch over in Moab, Utah.
Oh, cool. You're getting a little sightseeing.
I actually came from Houston, Texas. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'd say so.
All right. So you're in Utah hauling coffee grounds. You know what I like about his answer on the coffee grounds is it doesn't matter to him what he's hauling. It's all about the journey for him. It's not about the destination.
Yep.
It's all about that open road, baby. Taking some time to check out the fine scenery, you know? Do you ever get concerned that you're hauling something illegal?
No, I'm not really concerned about that. I'm actually going to be soon getting my hazmat endorsement, so I could really realistically haul really anything as long as, you know, my weights are legal and all that.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, good to know.
Very good to know. Well, what's on your mind, fella?
Hey, so I currently technically live, quote unquote, in Montana. However, the place I'm living at, or quote unquote living out of, we're going to soon be selling that place, and my family is going to be moving all their stuff and moving to Georgia or wherever they're planning on moving to. They haven't exactly like set down a place yet, but I don't really want to live with them. I don't really particularly like living with my family. And so I drive over the road and I'm just planning on living out of my semi truck. Am I justified in my decision to live out of my semi truck and just bank away money?
Okay, let's break this down a little bit. First of all, a lot of quote unquotes about your current living situation. What does that mean? Why is it they quote unquote live?
Well, I mean, the reason is I'm spending a couple of weeks on end on the road, and so I'm not technically living at home.
Okay.
But it's just my place of residence.
And your family, you mean like your parents' house?
So I live in a 3-bedroom house, but there's, what would it be, 6 of us living there right now?
And who is 6? Like, you got a wife and kids that live there? Or?
Nope. I'm a single man with no kids.
Okay.
It's my mom and stepdad. It's my brother, my sister, and my grandma, and then technically me, but I'm not there.
Okay, because I was like, hey, what's going on if you got a wife and kids back home and you're like, I just want to live on the road? Yeah, no. Okay, much better.
Yeah, no.
Much better.
The only real kid I have is my German, but that doesn't particularly.
Shotgun rider, now, though. You can have a German Shepherd.
Exactly.
Well, what do you think, Charlie? Yeah. What should he do? Should he take it on the road or should he move to Georgia?
Yeah, why are you even how old are you?
I'm 27.
Yeah, you're 27. You should probably just get your own place anyway. And if your place has wheels on it, so be it. You're living there most of the time.
Yeah.
What do you need, a mailing address? Can't you get a P.O. box and call that one a day?
Yeah. I think the thing with P.O. boxes is you have to have a like an actual address that they can send your mail in case something with. I don't know how P.O. boxes work, to be honest. I don't technically have a set address if I use a P.O. box.
Well, just have your set address be your parents' house and then just get a P.O. box wherever you want.
Yeah. Okay.
How do your parents feel about you moving out? Are they happy about it? Are they like, oh, no, you should live here?
So it used to be in my house. It used to be just me and my grandma. And then, honestly, and I know this is going to sound weird, we lived in an area, like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard the phrase Californiaized, where, like, an area just becomes so abhorrently high regarding the prices to live, or the cost to live there, that it because of people moving from out of state into there. And that it kind of offsets the people that live there. So it's just the cost of living in Montana is ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
And so my mom and all of them moved into my grandma's house just because it used to be just me and my grandma. And now I don't really want to live with my mother. I just.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're going
to
be.
I love her to death, but. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it sounds like you should live on the road then. I mean, it sounds like that's what you're trying to do. Talk me through how it is living in your semi. I mean, you got a bed in there, right?
Well, yeah, I do. I do have a bed in there.
How do you feel about taking showers at truck stops?
I like it. The only thing I kind of dislike is at some truck stops, they don't particularly clean the showers like very well. At certain truck stops, it's like they just kind of like just clean up the water from the other guy that was in there. And then
yeah, you got to make sure you got a good pair of flip-flops on you.
Yeah, I don't know. I like looking professional, so I'm not really one to wear flip-flops. But I do understand because I swear, like there's like this weird like road grime stuff in truck stop showers. It's
wait,
weird.
So you gotta back this truck
so
up
you,
for a second.
You think it's more professional to just be waiting in line for your shower bare feet than flip flops?
Dude, are you raw dogging these truck stop showers? Yeah, like what's growing on your feet
right
now?
Oh
my
god. I wash my feet.
Yeah, I know.
That's not what this is about.
Do you know how athlete's foot works? What kind of fungus you got growing on there?
I don't really know.
Do you have any itching or burning sensation between your toes?
No.
Not even a hangnail.
It's like
huh?
He's playing Russian roulette. He just hasn't died yet.
Yeah, I know, dude.
At some point, there's only...
I got a strong immune system.
I don't think that's how it works. I don't think that immune system has anything to do with athlete's foot. I don't think that's how it works.
I think fungus don't discriminate. If it likes your toes, it likes your toes. But how many of these showers have you gone bareback in?
All of them for the most
part.
Wow.
Jeez. I am praying for your soul, my guy. This is interesting. All right, well that's fine. So you're going out there.
What do you like to do for fun on the road? Like if you're going to be living out of your semi, what are you going to do to pass the time when you're not driving?
For the most part, mainly just eat. I'm planning on putting a TV in my truck.
Ooh.
So I can play like games and whatnot. I don't really have internet in my truck, so I can't really like play like online or anything. There are truckers that do that, but I'm not one of them. But I mainly just mess around on my phone while I'm, you know, laying down.
What's the dating scene like on the road?
It's non-existent.
Is it true what they say about the truck stops?
What about them?
You know.
Talk about lot lizards?
Yeah.
Lot lizards, commercial company, sleeper creepers. So I have actually just recently started truck driving. It used to be a kind of a lot more of a problem back before, I think about 2010, because there was actual fight against it back in like 2010. It used to be a lot more common because honestly, there wasn't really much of a fight against it. And honestly, I mean, truck stops are, I mean, if I'm a prostitute, I'm looking for truck stops because, I mean, there's guys with money there. But that's besides the point.
Yeah, it's probably a lot of weird stuff that goes on there. Probably best to avoid all that. How much money do you think you can make as a truck driver? Let's say you're the best truck driver out there. What kind, you know, for other people looking to maybe consider this as a career, how much money can a good truck driver make?
It honestly depends. depends on a couple of things, like what kind of freight you're hauling.
All right.
In essence, the more labor involved in your truck driving career, the more money you make.
So how much money? Like, give us a range that a truck driver can make in a year.
Well, it's hard. That's kind of a loaded question.
Let's unload it, baby.
Just
give us a range.
We're not going to fact check you. Well, we're not going to send you to jail if it's wrong. What do you think?
Well, as you guys probably know, there is a major, once you first get into truck driving, there is a major learning curve in driving an 18-wheeler versus a, you know, regular passenger car, trying to maneuver corners, and, you know, tight traffic. And,
yeah, 12 more wheels to deal with. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
14.
So there's so the more it honestly pays better the more experience you have in the field.
All right, let's do a range. Let's do a range. Let's have the bottom part of the range being a starting wage for a truck driver and the top being a really experienced truck driver hauling some good freight.
I really wish I could tell you. I will say I've been doing it for about a year over the road, and I'm making between $1,600 and $1,800 a week.
So what's that a year?
That's pretty – for guys who can't do math here, you know what? I got a calculator. I'll figure that out.
I'm sorry. I
don't
about
apologize.
About $83,000 we're getting. $83,000, does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. But there are possibilities to making excess of $100,000 a year.
Well, okay. That's pretty good money.
So about $83,000 to $100,000 a year, you would say.
Yeah, but the problem is a lot of trucking companies, they require a set amount of experience behind the wheel before they'll even consider you because of the learning curve that is involved.
And what do those guys
like
make?
A lot of companies.
100.
You talk about the new guys or the experienced guys?
The experienced guys. Do they make 100,000 or is it more than that?
Yeah, they can easily make $100,000 a year.
Okay. So we got 80. That's a good paying job.
Yeah, that's pretty
sweet. We got to start pushing people to the trucking industry, Charlie.
Yeah, so I like your game plan here. Yeah, your game plan is save up the money for a few years and then you buy your own house. I like it.
Yep. And when I was talking about the experience part, a lot of trucking companies, because they require so much experience behind the wheel, honestly, new guys, for the most part, have to start out at like the sort of like mega carrier company, like Swift, Werner, Prime, CR England. And those guys do not pay the best. When I first started, I was making 41 cents a mile back in November.
So what is that a year?
I don't even know. Because the problem is you get paid by the mile, so you don't get like a set amount of.
About how many miles a year do you drive?
I average, let's see, like between like 2,600 and 3,600 a week. So we'll say about 3,000 a week.
Or times 41.
Times however much you make a mile. Yeah.
I'm having Miles do the calculations here. Anyway, regardless of what, regardless of
3,500
miles is
times
doing
41 cents.
Miles is figuring out your books right now.
That didn't add up either. 60,000. So okay, yeah. So the range for a trucker is between like $60,000 and $100,000.
Yes.
Well, man, we appreciate you calling in today and letting us into the mind of a trucker a little bit. It's always fun to see where you're at and what you're hauling. You've been a good ambassador for the trucking industry, And maybe there's someone that listens to this and says, hey, $60,000 to $100,000 a year sounds pretty good for just driving on the open road. And we got you to thank for that. So we appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah. Drive safe. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Tell your folks I says hi.
Love it, buddy.
I'll tell you guys later.
Tell your mom we says hi.
Yep, I will.
See ya.
All right, bye-bye.
Talk good.
Well, Miles, you know, just any time we can get a nice look inside the truck, I think is beautiful.
I agree.
Just a, you know, it's the backbone of the American economy.
I love that he didn't know what he was hauling. That's just like the purest form of trucking in my mind.
He didn't know he was hauling. He didn't know he was making. He knew
for the love of the game.
He knew the open road, baby. Mm-hmm. And you got to give a guy like that credit.
Well, should we take another caller?
Yep.
Charlie.
Yes, Miles.
The sun is out and shining, I think.
April flowers.
How would we know? We're in a bar.
April flowers bring May flowers. You know my favorite color flower, Miles?
Orange.
Yep. Just like
this
orange
tippy cow.
Orange
bottle.
Cream tippy cow, baby. It's beautiful.
And you know what the orange reminds me of?
Hunting.
The sun.
And the sun. Yes. That was my next guess. And the sun.
What better way to enjoy the new sun outside, Charlie, than what?
And some ice cold tippy cow, Miles. Cheers to you. And cheers to me.
It won't be long now, Charlie. I'll be sitting at the lake, my feet kicked up, nice little sunset, nice little orange, beautiful sunset, and I'll be sucking down an orange cream tippy cow. I cannot wait.
Mm-mm-mm. Folks, this podcast is presented by Nicolet Law, the Midwest premier accident and injury firm since 2007, founded by Russell Nicolet, ladies and gents.
Injured or no?
Oh, injured or no? Yeah, no or no. They cover Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, family run and dedicated. Visit NicoletLaw.com or call 1-855-NICOLET.
You know what they say about Nicolet?
What's that?
Insurance companies fear the beard.
Fear the beard. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who we got on the horn today?
My name is Abby.
Hi, Abby.
And I am from Northwest Indiana.
I love it.
I know. I got distracted. I'm getting some bottles ready. I have a newborn calf to feed.
Oh, right. Dairy farmer. I like that.
Yeah.
We're
fourth generation.
Good for you guys over there in Northwest Indiana.
They know their way around a teat over there.
Yeah, sure do. Well, good.
We try to.
Well, I'm glad that we can be part of the milking process. So, feeding process. What's cooking?
I need some advice. So this is my rookie year, but next year I get to hand out the milk to the winning driver at the Indianapolis 100.
Whoa!
And
that's awesome.
So this year, I know I'm super excited. I was selected by a group of other dairy farmers to do it. So this year I get to hand the milk to the team owner and the chief mechanic. So I'm super excited about that, but I just didn't know if you guys had some advice for me because I really don't want to become a meme.
First of all, congratulations. Second of all, tell us the name of your dairy farm. We got to give you a little plug here.
We are Her Dairy Farm, H-E-R-R, in Kendallville, Indiana.
Okay.
We're Northwest. Yeah.
I like it. So this is kind of the pinnacle of dairy farming. I feel like this is kind of the Nobel Prize. Am I right in saying that?
Especially in Indiana. I mean, this is quite the honor. How did you even get this honor?
So I was selected by a group of dairy farmers. They found me worthy enough that I get the opportunity to hand out the milk. And I know it's such a tradition and stuff here in Indiana. So to be a part of it, I'm super excited. But I'm just so nervous I'm going to drop the milk or something.
Okay. But don't do that. That would be number one.
But if you do, there's no use crying over it, okay?
Don't cry over that spilled
milk. Yeah, I know. I'll try not to.
So what qualifies you? Like, you're just quick hands on the teats? You're, you know, you just know how to get the most out of your cows. Like, what qualified you?
So pretty much, like, I did apply for it, and they liked the story that we had to tell, and the other dairy farmers, they selected us. So we got to go down, and we got to go to the race last year, which my family has been going to the race for a long time. It started when my dad was just a little guy, and so I know it's been a big part of my family. And then I got to get the opportunity now to do it with by being selected by them. It's not really too many qualifications other than sharing our story and stuff on social media and just trying to give dairy a voice here in Indiana.
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, real quick before we dive in further, what was the story that you shared with them that made them want to select you?
It was my dad, as a little guy, his dad bought tickets. They're also dairy farmers. He bought tickets because he loved the time-honored tradition, you know, that milk being handed out in the 1930s by Louis Meyer. He wanted that buttermilk when he won the race there at the Indianapolis 500. So his mom brought him some buttermilk. And that's something that, you know, my grandpa, he loved that tradition. And so they started buying tickets and stuff down there and going down every year and attending the race. And I think that just really spoke to people because not only, you know, is it generations going back with the milk tradition, but also generations in my family that have loved the Indianapolis 500.
What a tearjerker story. I like that. You're in the family. All right.
Well, yeah, so you called into the right place, by the way, because I got a little bit of racing experience myself. I was able to wave the green flag over at Daytona when they did the Busch Clash a few years ago. So I've seen my way around a racetrack, Charles.
Yep.
I definitely want your advice then.
Okay. So should we dive into what she needs to do?
Yeah, and in fact, I'm looking for any viral moments that have happened in doing this in the past. Is there a viral moment that sticks out to you? What was the biggest, like, you have a fear of becoming a meme. Is there a big meme that you're referring to? Oh.
There is not a moment that has happened yet, but I'm afraid I'm going to pause that moment. That's what I'm most afraid.
All right. So first of all, I think you got to start with it's buttermilk is what you're bringing to the table.
Well, there are three different types that the drivers get to choose. So it's whole milk, 2%, and skim milk.
Okay.
But all of the milk has the same nutrition. So
well, that's what I was going to ask. Is well, you're already on top of it. I was going to say you got to make sure you're giving them the right percentage here because that'd be the worst thing if you gave skim milk to someone who wanted whole. So it sounds like there's a pretty rigorous process in that to make sure you get in the right hands, right?
Yes, yes, very much so. There, we have a nice cooler that we get to carry in and we get to guard it on race day. And then we make sure they're all labeled and stuff. So we hand the right stuff to the right person.
Right, because whoever wins, you've got to look at what their milk of choice is and pull the right bottle, huh?
Yeah. Yes.
What are they going to be drinking it out of?
It'll be a nice glass pint jar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the glass.
Well, I guess it's a glass bottle that they'll be drinking out of. It was once awarded like the coolest trophy in racing. So yeah.
I know.
Able to get that milk.
Yeah, I've seen it. So you're worried about dropping it or spilling it, or that would be bad. So I think one move you could try out is you could take a page out of the college drinking scene and just duct tape the bottles to your hands, kind of a little Edwards milk hands situation to ensure that you aren't spilling that milk or dropping it. Because that glass can get sweaty in the summer heat, you know?
Especially with the condensation of the cool milk. Very much so. Miles, I don't often say this, but that's a great idea.
I was going to ask that. Do I need to, like, put some Gorilla Glue on my hand or something like that? I was thinking that. But then I can't hand it over. I'd be afraid then I would be a meme or something.
No worries. You got to look at a profession that is similar to what you're doing here, okay? And I would look no further than the wide receivers in the NFL. Yep. They've all got stick-em on their gloves, all right? Whether they want to admit it or not. So you get yourself some some wide receiver gloves and some stick-em, and, you know, a little bit of force will pull it off, but at least you're not going to be dropping it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Have your backups too. Can you do two of each just in case you drop one?
Yes, I believe there is extra in the cooler. So then that way we don't have any mistakes. So I know it's, I'm definitely going to enjoy the moment. I know I definitely need to do that, but it's still nerve wracking.
How are you getting the cow ready to, you know, where's this milk coming from? Are you going to set aside a special cow and make sure that they're in tip-top shape and ready to go for it, or what's that process look like?
Well, it will be, the milk does come from Indiana dairy farm family. It's not a specific one, but I mean collectively when the milk goes to the plant and stuff like that, it'll be fresh out of the cow via pasteurization and all that to be handed out. So it's kind of a collective Indiana dairy farm families that are putting that milk to hand out to the winning driver.
I think that's perfect. And we are not leaving any room for air here. So in addition to the cooler, I want you to come in with a full ass cow. Okay. Just in case worse comes to worse, they can go straight to the teat.
Yeah. You don't want a wheel flying off, hitting the cooler, breaking all the bottles, milk everywhere. You got to have a cow on deck.
Yes. And you have to insist
on it. I think that is so smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great publicity.
It is. I mean, who wouldn't want a cow up there? I mean, she worked hard to give them that milk.
She did.
Plus, at these racetracks, there's a lot of crowds and sometimes not easy to maneuver around. So if you're walking around with a cow, all you got to say is move and people are going to move out of the way for you.
I like what you did there, Miles.
Feel like maybe I should like get a saddle and try to break one just to ride it around the track.
Hey, there you go.
That definitely won't make you a meme.
Yeah.
I know. Not at all, would it?
You know what? Why are we thinking about it like this? We gotta think about it completely different. You need to be a meme. You wear your t-shirt for your dairy farm, HERR.
Yeah.
And and make sure you drop that glass because it's going to be embarrassing in the moment, but you're going to see sales skyrocket after that.
Drop it on purpose, then do a little magic trick and pull another glass of milk out from behind the driver's ear and hand it to him.
There you go. Now we
are cooking.
That's
a good idea.
My nieces and nephews love that trick.
Yeah, and who says it's got to be the ear, too? You know, you could pull it out anywhere. So,
is that what you're going to teach your son, Miles? Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are expecting.
Yeah, I'm going to be hitting him with all the tricks when he comes out. You know, he's going to think he's going to grow up without a nose. You know? Because I'm going to take his nose away never give it back.
I keep thinking before I probably step out, I definitely need to take a couple shots of tippy cow. I feel like that will help me muster the courage.
Yeah.
And hopefully it doesn't bite me in the butt, though.
No, it should. That should do the trick, don't you think,
Charles?
Just
a little to ease the nerves, you know? And this is really exciting, though. We're super stoked for
Now, I think you need to spend some time thinking about what your catchphrase needs to be when you hand over the milk, you know? And don't go basic cable on me either. You can't go, hey, congrats on winning and hand it to him and go, got milk? That's been used before.
That's been done.
Actually, it's winners drink milk. That's the catchphrase that we are going to be using.
Oh, so
winners drink milk, because who wouldn't want to be a winner and drink that ice cold bottle of milk?
You know, I like it. I'm not in love with it, Charlie. Would you improve it?
We can spitball here. I want to play off the her with the double R. Do we really just have to drink it normally? Like, do you have an extra funnel laying around there? What if they did a milk bomb?
Well, they usually drink a little and then they pour the rest of it on themselves.
Well, why don't they drink a lot and then pour the rest of one of the extra ones on themselves? You know, I'm trying to think outside.
Maybe you could put a dog cone on him so that all the milk doesn't go to waste and he can catch it all when he pours it on his head.
Now, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Because
it would work because then they could just keep sipping off of it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. The old milk boarding.
Yeah, they definitely could do that. And honestly, having the last name her, when we had kids, I could have been really mean to them, but I was not. My husband would not allow me to.
Well, give me an example. What were you wanting to do?
So we have two daughters. So if I would have had a son, I probably would have been like Ben, Dover, her. But we never did anything too crazy. So...
Well,
you gotta listen to you bet your radio.
I know. I probably could have gotten more creative, but we kept it simple.
Well, I mean, this is exciting. We're excited for you.
We'll be watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to make sure I have something out there that gets you guys out there too. Get some of your merch. Although I don't know, we have to wear a white shirt. We have a specific uniform we have to wear too. So
yeah, we don't need it. This is your moment. You know, you.
I know.
Your time to shine. Four generations of hard worker lead up to this point.
And is very true.
Take all the pressure off you becoming a meme. That could be the best thing for your business.
Yeah, they say, you know, like if you want to fall asleep, the best key is to try not to fall asleep. Try to be a meme and then you won't end up being one.
I think that is some very good advice.
Well, congratulations.
Very sound advice.
And send us a video when it's all said and done.
All right, I will.
All right, well,
you guys take care and tell your folks I say hi.
All right, watch out for them deer out there.
And cows.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you soon.
What a cool thing.
That's
what I like about this job that we have, Charlie.
You know,
you never know who's on the other line. And I didn't even think about that was a job.
Dairy royalty right now. You know, it's pretty slick.
So it's another good episode, I think, Charlie.
Another good episode, Miles. Sorry we didn't win the poll tabs. Maybe next time.
Yeah. You win some, you lose some.
That's why they call it investing. Folks, make sure you tip your bartenders, all right? We'll see you next week.
Love you guys.